This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
Kia ora everyone, welcome to another episode of Books Uncovered. So you just got the Bella part of the Holly and Bella today. Holly has just got back from going over to the Melbourne Writers Festival, which is very exciting, and I'm sure she'll tell us all about it on the next episode. But yeah, just me today. And so I decided to talk about, I'm doing sort of a mystery, thrillery sort of theme from the books that I've been reading recently. I've kind of been in that sort of mood. And they sort of go through a few different genres so that they'd be fun. So the first one I'm going to talk about today is, it's called The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett. And so this was published in 2024, and it actually took home the Hugo Award for Best Novel. So it was a big, big hit and very well acclaimed book when it came out. And Robert Jackson Bennett is a very seasoned and beloved fantasy and sci-fi author who wrote things like the Divine City series and the City of Blades trilogy. So this is a first in a series, and there's, I think it's a trilogy, I'm not quite sure, I should have looked that up, but there's two books out currently. And yeah, I'll tell you about it. So this is a fantasy novel that is also sort of, it's a mystery as well. So, and it feels really fresh. It felt really fresh to me. And so it's a whodunit mystery that's wrapped inside of this quite strange and intriguing biopunk fantasy world. And it's one, I sort of got drawn into it through the mystery side, and I'm also a big fantasy fan, so that definitely helped as well. But I really wanted to stay in the book because it's this really horrifying ecology in the world and this political intrigue and these really wonderfully eccentric characters that, oh man, I really love them. So yeah, the setup is incredible, I have to say. It's set in the Empire of Carnum, where gigantic leviathans rise from the sea every wet season to assault these colossal seawalls that they've built to protect civilization. But I thought it was really interesting how this isn't a story that focuses on the soldiers on the front lines like you'd kind of expect, but instead it really zooms in on the investigators that are cleaning up the mess afterwards. So yeah, at the centre of the novel is the two characters, Anna Dolabra and Denise Cole, and I really love their dynamic together. I think it's the book's biggest strength. So you have Anna, who is this brilliant, really rude, hilariously eccentric detective who insists on wearing a blindfold at all times because she finds everything sort of too overwhelming in the world to have, like, too overstimulating is what I mean. And she often refuses to leave her house and will sort of burrow in on these, like, really intense sort of trails of research and that sort of stuff. And then you have Denise Cole, who is her assistant, who is an engraver, which in this book means someone who's been magically altered to possess a perfect memory. So kind of like the ideal detective, basically. And together they get sent to investigate the death of a high-ranking imperial officer who appears to have been murdered when a tree violently erupts from inside his body. So, yeah, it's that sort of grotesque biofantasy horror, which I thought was a really fun spin in this book. So, yeah, you start off there, which is a pretty interesting, exciting place to start. And then the mystery just keeps on widening. So every answer they find uncovers another layer of conspiracy, contagion, political corruption, and ecological terror. And there's all these little puzzles that slowly click together piece by piece. So if you really love that classic mystery moment where the detective gathers everyone in a room and explains exactly how it all happened, then Bennett really nails that feeling. So yeah, I thought what made it work so well is that despite the giant monsters and this elaborate world building, the structure is really fundamentally a murder mystery. And yeah, I'd recommend trying this out if you're a mystery reader but you have never really dipped a toe into fantasy before. It's pretty much, yeah, it's this, it's a textbook sort of Sherlockian mystery, basically. And there's a very clear Sherlock and Watson energy to Anna and Din. And I'm pretty sure the author was directly inspired. This is kind of his take on Sherlock and Sherlock Holmes. And yeah, I thought Anna also has some of the theatrical eccentricity of like a Benoit Blanc from Knives Out. So if you like that movie series as well, I think you'll like this. And yeah, they have a really funny back and forth, even in the middle of all this body horror and political collapse. Yeah. So what I also really loved about the book is that beneath the entertainment, there's really thoughtful things going on. Like, the book is really deeply interested in systems of power and who gets valued and who gets exploited and how people get altered and reshaped to serve empire. So, yeah, there's lots of different sort of physical alterations that characters in the book have gone through, yet to make them better be able to serve empire. So there's people that can have a really excellent sense of smell, people that get, like, physically stronger. So it's really, it's a really interesting thing that he's built into this world. A world where bodies get literally modified for labour and utility, and where any difference is treated as suspicious, unless it benefits the powerful. And I think Bennett roots really hard for his neurodivergent protagonists and for people trying to carve out dignity inside systems that weren't really ever designed for them. And it really gives this book a really great emotional weight beneath all the murder and mayhem that's going on. I also really thought that the world building is phenomenal. The empire constantly feels like it's on the edge of catastrophe. It is, like, directly threatened by these huge leviathans, and there's strange contagions, there's political instability, and just the sheer logistical nightmare of maintaining a civilization itself. I think one of my favourite lines in the novel was this one. "Oh, people love the Legion, with their swords and their walls and their bombards. But though they receive no worship, it's the maintenance folk who keep the empire going. Someone, after all, must do the undignified labour to keep the grand works of our era from tumbling down." And I really like that idea that civilization survives because ordinary people keep patching it together. And I think it really runs through and is sort of the theme of the entire book. And I think Bennett balances all of this really beautifully. The plot moves quickly, the mystery keeps escalating, and the world really reveals itself quite naturally through the investigation rather than through giant lore dumps, you could see in other novels. I won't name any names. By the end, you get completely immersed in this really bizarre and dangerous world. And when I finished it, I was like, oh, I want to reread it and see if I could catch all the details that sort of come out at the end and, like, see where I missed them and that sort of thing. So, yeah, if you really like fantasy with a strong mystery bent and eccentric detectives, then I think this is a really easy recommendation. I kind of recommend this to anyone. It's just a fantastic book. There's also a really good Goodreads review quote by Robin on Goodreads that I'll read out. So, who said, "It's like Knives Out, but if Knives Out was set in a fantasy world and Benoit Blanc was an old woman who had hired the most disaster bisexual to be your eyes and ears." So yeah, I think that sums it up really nicely. And I also note that I recently read the next book in the series called A Drop of Corruption, and it's also excellent, I think, an even stronger book than this one. And then the third book in the series, A Trade of Blood, is due to come out in August this year. So that was The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett. And now I'm going to play a song that I'm very tenuously connecting to this book because it's called Monstre, so Monstre in French, excuse my horrible French pronunciation, by the band Grand Eugene. And basically I picked this one because I've been listening to it a lot and because of the leviathans that feature in the book, so basically gigantic monsters. Oh yeah, enjoy. This is Monstre by Grand Eugene. Hello, hello, back again. So I will say again, that was Monstre by Grand Eugene in French. So I hope you enjoyed that. And yeah, very tenuously connected to my last book I talked about, which was The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett. So now I'm going to cross over into a bit more of a classic mystery with one of my favourite mystery crime writers of all time, Tana French, who is a name you might recognise. She's a very well-known name in the genre. And, yeah, as I said, one of my favourite crime writers. And I think I've read all of her books, or if not all, then pretty much all of them. And, yeah, she So I was already way across her and her reputation as one of the great contemporary crime writers before I read this book I'm about to talk about it. French first became famous for her debut novel In the Woods and then the wider Dublin Murder Squad series, which is a series of literary crime novels that are technically mysteries but are really dive into obsession, memory, identity and the sort of emotional rot that lurks between ordinary lives. And I think what makes her stand out is that she writes crime fiction with the patience and precision of literary fiction. So her books aren't really built around shocking twists so much as the atmosphere, psychology, and the slow excavation of people's secrets. The book I'm talking about today is The Keeper, which is the third and final book in her Cal Hooper trilogy. And this really feels like a combination of everything that she does best. So the series has been following Cal Hooper, who's a retired Chicago detective who moves to the tiny Irish village of Ardna Kelty. And he goes there looking for peace, simplicity, and a break from the really dark crimes that he's been working on in America. But what he finds there instead is what French always finds so fascinating to dive into in her novels. So there's intricate social webs that bind people together and to history and to land and to silence, sort of wraps in that whole like Irish setting. By the time this novel begins, years have passed since the last book in the series, and Cal has really become part of the community. So he's engaged to Lena, the local vet. He's helped raise Trey, the once nearly feral teenager who's become really the emotional heart of the trilogy. He's making furniture, drinking at the pub, and living a life that almost resembles belonging. And then a young woman named Rachel Holohan is found dead in the river. What follows is technically a murder investigation, but I think calling this book a thriller almost feels misleading. So this is a really slow burn novel, I'll warn you right now. It's nearly 500 pages of gossip, tension, suspicion, tiny shifts in loyalty, and conversations that are really loaded with meanings that nobody says aloud. And like, to be honest, there are stretches where the plot is basically just people talking in kitchens or pubs. But in her classic kind of French way, she really manages to make that feel really gripping in a way that I love. And I think that's because nobody really writes dialogue like she does. So she has this incredible ear for how people circle around the truth instead of just speaking it directly. And everyone in Ardna Kelty is constantly negotiating old grudges, obligations, debts, loyalties, and half-buried resentments. So it's kind of like every conversation ends up feeling like a chess game between the people involved, I find really fun. And I think the atmosphere she creates in this novel is extraordinary too. She writes the Irish countryside so vividly you can practically smell the wet hay in the river coming off the page. And the town of Ardna Kelty feels so alive and so beautiful but really claustrophobic at the same time, steeped in this like really rigid tradition but also beginning to hollow out under the pressures of modernity. So there's really this recurring idea throughout the trilogy of rural decline. So like things like the young people are leaving, opportunities are disappearing, and then the communities are really struggling to hold on to themselves while the world is changing around them. So there's this really constant tension between preservation and inevitability. I always struggle to say that word on the radio. And just between people wanting things to stay the same and then knowing that they can't. I think the way she delves into that is really beautiful in this series in particular. And it also gives the series sort of an old-fashioned Western quality. So Cal is the outsider who gradually becomes part of the town. And, except instead of the dusty frontier towns, it's rural Ireland. So the village has its own laws, its own silences, and its own understanding of what should and shouldn't be exposed. So I think what hit me the hardest in The Keeper is the sense of time passing. So you see Trey, who's a really central and beloved character. She's growing up in ways that Cal can't protect her from anymore. There's cracks appearing in Cal and Lena's relationship, and the village itself is changing whether or not anybody actually wants it to. And French is very unsentimental about this stuff. And so you'd know that if you read her earlier books, especially the Dublin Murder Squad novels, where she's never really interested in neat closure or comforting resolutions. She'll push her characters exactly where she thinks the story demands, even when it hurts. And it makes this book, it does hurt a little. Not in a melodramatic way, but because the relationships feel so lived in by this point. And you care really deeply about these people, even when they frustrate you. I know a lot of people in the reviews I've read find Cal himself a little too passive or emotionally static, and I do really understand that criticism. I've felt it myself, because he's really not the most flamboyant or transformative protagonist I think Fringe has ever written. But I almost think that that's intentional, so that he's less, like, he's not the centre of the story. He's the lens through which we can, like, observe the town itself. And that's really where the book gets its depth, is this, like, really complicated community. And, yeah, I think that's really the magic of Town of Fringe, which you can make this entire intriguing, gripping novel out of rumour and implication and memory and silence, and kind of make it feel as tense as an action thriller, even though it's kind of just mostly just people talking to each other. But, yeah, it's literary crime fiction, I think, in its truest sense. And it's, like, a really immersive, atmospheric, rich book that I definitely highly recommend if you love Irish noir. Or if you just like reading, it's just a good book. But yes, Be Observed is a slow burner. So if you're looking for sort of a more, you know, twisty-turny, action-packed crime novel, maybe look elsewhere. But if you're ready to settle in for the weekend and read the whole series, then I definitely recommend grabbing this book. And yeah, but definitely start at the first novel in the series, which I think is The Searcher. I actually forgot to write it down. But yes, it's the Cal Hooper series by Tana French, and this one I've been reviewing is her latest one, The Keeper. And I will play out the show with an Art Garfunkel song called Waters of March. It just kind of made me feel the same way that this book did, in a way that maybe you'll understand if you read it. So yeah, this is Waters of March by Art Garfunkel, and you've been listening to Books Uncovered with Bella, without the Holly today. So thank you for listening. You have been listening to Books Uncovered, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
For more information about hosting events or becoming a member of the Athenaeum Library, please visit our website, dunedinathenaeum.org.nz, or come in and visit us in the Lower Octagon. Our opening hours are Tuesday to Wednesdays, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. and Thursdays, 2 p.m. till 6 p.m.
To listen again to this episode or to find other podcasts in the series, look for Books Uncovered on oar.org.nz or your favourite podcast platform.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.